The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Let me ask you to open your Bible for a quick sermon today, quick message to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. If you don't know where Hosea is, just go to the middle of your Bible. That should be Psalms, and make a right turn when you get there. It's one of the minor prophets, minor only in the sense of size, a major message delivered by all the minor prophets. They're there. But we will look at one verse from Hosea chapter 10, and I want to read verse 12 for our consideration today. It actually would just be a springboard into the larger message. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. And I will focus on that center statement, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. In Hosea's day, Israel was a nation of farmers. And so it was only natural that a prophet would use language drawn from the practice of farming, figures of speech drawn from farming. And so Hosea cried, break up your fallow ground. Now, let me remind you that every Israelite in Hosea's day would have known instantly what that was. They would have known for sure what that meant. Now, I'll confess to you, I had to go look up what fallow ground was. Now, maybe you've done a lot more plowing than I have. I wasn't sure what fallow ground was. And I will further confess that having learned what fallow ground was, I found that awfully difficult to work into a conversation. Well, how's your fallow ground? Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of hard to find a place in regular conversation for that expression, fallow ground. But every Israelite in Hosea's day was agriculturally literate, and they knew exactly what fallow ground was. Fallow ground is simply land that has rotated out of cultivation. It's not new ground. It had been worked and cultivated before with much profit, but it had rotated out of cultivation. Can I tell you something? Most of the time, we think if anything's any good, we discovered it ourselves. But crop rotation was not discovered by soil scientists in the early part of the 20th century in the United States. God instituted that a long time ago. In the law, the book of Leviticus, God said to the Israelites to let your land rest every seventh year. Don't try to grow crops on it. Let it be covered with a cover crop. So that when you go back out and break up that fallow ground, you turn under the vegetation that had grown on it, and you renew the nutrients in the soil that way. If you farm it every year, you're going to exhaust the soil. So let it rest every seventh year. And then, once it was worked, but now it was idle and unused, it was unprofitable, but the farmer had to go out and break up that fallow ground, turn the clods over so they would mellow in the wind and the sun and the rain, and again he could sow his seed and claim his crop. So break up your fallow ground, the prophet Hosea said. Now, it is clear, and he explained, that he meant it in spiritual terms, in a spiritual sense, because he followed that up quickly. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. Breaking up fallow ground meant seeking God, seeking the Lord. He shamed his hearers for their backsliding, and he called them to look on the farms of their lives and find fields there that once they had cultivated, once they had paid attention to and worked with a great deal of profit, but now they didn't work them anymore. They just let them lay idle and produce nothing. It is time, the prophet said, to break that up and start back doing like you used to and know you should, but just don't do anymore. Breaking up fallow ground, that's land you used to work and it was gainful. You don't do it anymore, but it's time to start back doing like you used to. And know you should, but just don't do anymore. So that's what I want to talk about today, doing like you used to do. That's breaking up fallow ground, doing like you used to do. Maybe I'm talking to somebody here who needs to break up the fallow ground of walking. And by that, I don't mean the fine art of putting one foot in front of the other without falling down. Some people have problems with that, I know. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm looking at people in this auditorium today who used to walk with God. What I mean by that is you cut time out of every day to get your Bible and to get along with God and let God speak to you and you spoke to Him. I'm talking to people who used to memorize Scripture, hiding God's Word in their heart so they wouldn't sin against God. I'm talking to folks who stayed sensitive to sin and stayed confessed up to date and refusing to let anything come between their soul and the Savior. I'm talking to people who were growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking to people who had a passion for God that burned in their heart, burned in their souls, was like a fire in their bones. But that was then. This is now. You no longer walk with God or live for Jesus as once you did. And if you were honest, you'd have to confess that your spiritual life is a wreck. Inside, you're empty and cold and dry. Now, let me make it clear. If you never walked with God the way I described, if you never walked with God, then the prophet has no message for you, and neither do I. Because his message and my message is, if once you walked with God and do so no more, it is time to break up that fallow ground of walking with God and start back doing like you used to, walking with God. And don't do it anymore, but you know you should, you just don't do it anymore. So the question is there fallow ground on the farm of your life in the form of walking with God? Do you need to break up that ground this morning? Do you need to sink the plow deep and break up that fallow ground on the farm of your life? Well, there is another area, another field that I could point to today. Maybe there's someone here who needs to break up the fallow ground of going to church. Now, I know that some people say, well, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. We all him, you know. We all him. Yeah, I know you are. But for some, it may be the first time in a long time. And there may be others here who just come sporadically, just on occasion. You know, well, we get up, well, I think I'll go to church. It's a pretty day. It's not too cold. It's not rainy. I think I'll go to church today. Can I tell you, every Christian ought to do one thing well. Not everybody can teach a Sunday school class well. Not everybody can sing solos well. Not everybody can do everything else well, but every Christian ought to go to church well. One thing every Christian ought to do well, attend church. Now, I'm full well aware over the years of ministry that there are times when people are providentially hindered, but you better be careful how you use that term. Providence implies that God had something to do with it. If God put a barrier in your way or hurdle you had to jump to get to church because he didn't mean you to come, that's one thing. But I'll stand here to assure you today that God means his people to attend church. God intends his folks to get to church. Now, I've looked through this book. As a pastor, I often wondered, is there anything in this book, talking about my Bible, that commands lost people to go to church? And you know, I haven't found a single verse that says that a lost person, somebody who doesn't belong to Jesus and hasn't trusted him, there's not a single verse in there that says a lost person has to go to church. But you know what? There is something in there that says Christian people are supposed to go to church. It is. And what's there is Hebrews 10:25. The apostle of the Hebrews wrote, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Can I tell you that word assemble is one of the words in the New Testament for church. You could translate this as well, forsake not the churching of yourselves together. God intends his people to go to church, and if a Christian willfully absents himself from church, it's a sin against God. That's a commandment, not a suggestion. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then the rest of that verse just blows me away. as the custom of some is. See, already in the first century, absenteeism was a big problem. Many Christians had not become Seventh-day Adventists. They had become Seventh-day Absentists. They were conspicuous for their absence. When God's people gathered, they missed out. You know about one of them. You remember on the first Easter Sunday, there was a disciple there, we call him Doubting Thomas, who didn't believe that Jesus had showed up. He missed a blessing because he wasn't in church on Sunday night. He found something else to do. He was providentially hindered. Not really. He was somewhere else when he should have been at church, and he missed the blessing, do you see? So the apostle of the Hebrews said, it's already in the first century become a custom of some people just not to go to church. As the manner of some is, he said, don't forsake the churching of yourselves together. Now let me bring this down to today. See, I'm talking to folks who never miss church. When you were growing up, you were in your place every time the church gathered. You're at my house. I never had to get up on Sunday morning and say, we going to church today? I never asked that question, and I bet you didn't either. You knew you were going. The only question in my mind, and probably in yours, was, what do I wear and what time do we leave? That was it. Whether I wanted to go or not, I was going to church on Sunday. That's just what we did in my house. But that was then. This is now. For some of you, that's just not true anymore. Other concerns have pushed church to one side. Now, if you never had the church-going habit, neither Hosea nor I have a message for you today. But if once you had it and no more, have we got a word from God for you? It is time to break up the fallow ground of church going and start back going to church the way you used to and know you should and just don't do anymore. Break up that fallow ground. Let me move on to another field. Maybe I'm talking to someone today who needs to break up the fallow ground of witnessing. Now, I realize that sharing a witness for Christ and doing it publicly remains for most new ground. And what I mean by that is it was never worked in the first place. Do you realize that only 6% of professing Christians have ever shared the gospel with a lost person and helped them find Christ? Only 6 out of 100. And less than 1 in 1,000 does it with any degree of regularity. So for most or many, it remains new ground. And Hosea, as I've already pointed out, has no message. And I really have a message for somebody that never witnessed before. But the message from the Lord is that those who used to do it and quit need to break up that fallow ground. Now, I may be looking at some people who used to work with children. My mother worked for 40 years with junior age children. Do you remember when we used to call them juniors? You know, she spent most of her life working with junior age children. And my mom made it her rule of thumb that no pupil ever would pass through her hands in that class without having the claims of Jesus laid on them. She talked to them about their eternal welfare, not just what kind of week they had, you know. She made sure they got a strong gospel witness. And maybe you were one of those children's workers who made sure nobody ever went through your class and passed through your hands without a strong witness about Jesus. I may be talking to deacons who used to go into the community to share God's love and lead people to Christ. I may be talking to godly Christian people who used to get a burden for a friend or a neighbor or family or a work partner and pray over that person and weep over that person until they came to know the Lord. I may be talking to people who as teenagers carried their Bibles to school and read them at recess and talked to their classmates about Jesus and bore a witness, but you don't do it anymore. Those are the people Hosea targeted. That's the message from the Lord, that those who used to bear witness and don't anymore start back witnessing for Jesus like they used to and know they should and just don't do it anymore. Break up that fallow ground. You used to work it with diligence and with profit And it brought forth abundant fruit, but you just don't do it anymore. It's just laying idle, unproductive, and unused. If you never did, I have no message for you. But if once you didn't quit, God's word is break up that fallow ground. Break it up. And start back doing the way you used to. No, you should, but just don't do anymore. Let me talk briefly, though some would think this is more meddling than preaching. I want to talk about the field of giving. I have a preacher friend, close friend, who preached one out of every four messages on stewardship. One out of every four times he opened his mouth, he was talking about stewardship. Now, you're in the market for a pastor. You probably wouldn't want a pastor that preached on stewardship once a month, one out of every four Sundays. But you'd be ill-advised to pass over my friend because his name was Jesus. One out of every four verses our Lord spoke, according to the New Testament, had to do with stewardship. And so he's concerned with what he has placed in our hands to be responsible for and how we use it and whether we are liberal with God. Are we open-handed with God? In Monroe, I pastored in West Monroe, and I made a good friend across the river in the city of Monroe. It was a black pastor by the name of Charles McGee. And he was at the Greater Something Other Baptist Church. I don't even remember the name of it now. But Charles McGee was a dear, dear friend. And we worked out between us that we would swap churches. Now, swap services. And what that meant was, on a Sunday night, that whole church would come to our place for worship. And they would do a service just like they did it in their Black Baptist church. And then about 2 months later, we'd go down to their church and do an Anglo service just the way we would do it in our church. And, our choir would sing and our musicians would play and I would preach. And, you know, I have to tell you, it was a lot more exciting when they came our way than when we went theirs. It was a lot more exciting. Most of us have no idea what it means to worship in a Black Baptist church. We don't have any idea what it means to worship in the Baptist church just down the street. If you're faithful to your own church, you don't know what in the world is going on down there. You know? So anyway, Charles McGee and I became good friends, and I noted rather quickly that he was a whiz at taking offerings. You know, some people have that gift. I never did. The best I ever got to was, look, we have this financial need. Here's an opportunity. You give as God leads. Well, that's not very inspiring. But McGee knew how to take a love offering. In fact, he explained to me when I said that to him. He said, Dr. Taylor, he said, it is the job of the shepherd not only to lead the flock and feed it, but to fleece it every now and then. He said, the taking of the offering is just the fleecing of the flock. And he said, it's good for the sheep. You know, I have seen sheep in the wild. Not in the wild, but were not cared for. They weren't a pretty sight. They needed to be fleeced. They really did. Sheep need fleecing. It's good for the sheep. And so when he came to our church, I was always interested in how he was going to take the offering. I remember one night he stood and announced to his congregation and ours that were mixed out on the pew. He said, now, right now, we're going to take a silent offering. I never heard of that. A silent offering? What is that? He said, when we pass the plates, he said, I don't want to hear no noise when you drop your gift in. You keep that jingly stuff in your pocket. Put paper in there. And so we have a silent offering. Okay? I thought that was pretty good. Then on another occasion, he had everybody stand. They marched around and dropped their offering on the Lord's Supper table. He said, that's what I want you to do. And he said, and I'm going to stand right here and watch. And he said, if you don't give enough, we'll do it again. Now, he said, this is biblical. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? And he said, Jesus caught that little widow woman with two mites because he sat over, read it, you can read it yourself. He sat over against the treasury and watched as they cast in their gifts. It's in there. And on another occasion, he said, this is where I want to go. On another occasion, he said, now it's time for the offering. And he said, in a restaurant, they bring you a piece of paper that says what you owe. He said, I wanted to do that in our church and y'all wouldn't let me. Can you imagine passing out nuns? This is what you owe, you know. Here's what you owe. He said, but just think. He said, it's good to remember every now and then how much you owe God. He said, suppose God charged you for the beauty of a sunset. Ka-ching. Suppose God charged you for the oxygen you breathe. And that's come home with particular force to me. Ka-ching. Suppose God charged you for the love of your wife or husband. Suppose God charged you for the love of the little grandkids, the little ankle biters, rugrats that make it around you. Suppose God charged you for the love of a father or a mother. You owe God tremendously. Every last one of us owe God more than we could ever pay. But it's sad for me to say that many professed Christians seem never to think they owe God anything because most give nothing. Do you realize that average charitable giving to churches in the United States, the average is 1% of income. 1%. And studies have shown that in the average church, 20% of the members give 90% of the receipts. 30% of the members give the other 10% of the receipts. And 50% give not one red penny to the work of the Lord through their local church. Half the members of any church. That's the average. It may vary a little from church to church, but not much. Now, here's the point. Some people used to give regularly. They tithed or even gave a tithe and an offering over and beyond the tithe. But that was then. This is now. Now that doesn't happen anymore. The economy slowed. Medical bills piled up. Business dropped off. You had two kids in college, ran into financial difficulties. So you cut back or quit altogether. The message of the prophet is it's time to break up that fallow ground and start back giving the way you used to and know you should, but just don't do it anymore. It's time. The last field that I will mention is that of working. When at age 15, I made known publicly that I'd sensed God's call to ministry, my dad took me aside and he said, son, if you're going to pastor a Baptist church, you need to know something. I said, that's a lot I need to know. He said, no, this is really important. He said, every church is made up of willing people. 10% of them are willing to work. The other 90% are willing to let them. Now think about that, right? About 10% are willing to work. The other 90% are willing to let them. I've discovered my dad was optimistic. It ain't near 10% that are willing to work. I think it's something less than 10%. Here's the point. The point at which the prophet Hosea steps into the message from God. That was then. You know, many of you served God faithfully. Many of you worked hard for the Lord. You taught classes. You chaired committees. You sang in choirs. You sweated on work days. You sacrificed in the service of the Lord. But now you've dropped out and joined the 90%. Listen, here's a message from God. I got a word from the Lord for you. Break up that fallow ground. Start back working for the Lord the way you used to and know you should, but just don't do anymore. This word as I close. A church had gathered one Wednesday night for prayer meeting, and The Lord showed up. Ain't that great when we gather to do something on our own and God shows up? The Lord showed up, and that prayer meeting turned into a testimony meeting. God was moving in the lives of the people who'd gathered to pray that night. And so one man stood up and he said, "You know, I've been smoking in secret for 20 years, but I'm going to quit." Another man, inspired by that, hopped up and said, "I've been drinking a six-pack at night after work, and I'm going to quit." A third one said, "I've been cussing a lot at work lately, and I'm going to quit." One little grandma was so excited, she jumped straight up in the air and swung her arms like this. She said, "Well, I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm going to quit." Now, when I first heard that, I laughed like you did, and so did those people. They laughed. But that laughter died pretty quickly when they realized that's exactly what Hosea's message is. It is time for all who ain't been doing nothing to quit. And start back doing like they used to and know they should, but just don't do anymore. I admit that I possibly missed you altogether. But don't sit there and feel self-righteous because the preacher didn't say anything about my problem. Get over on the back 40 in your life and look around to see what kind of fields are laying idle there. Things you used to pay attention to, things you used to work at, things you disciplined yourself and drove yourself to do. Self-control. You drove yourself to do those things and made it a point to do it. What fields on the farm of your life lay fallow today? Just get over there and look around. And whatever God shows you, have the courage to admit it and to ask God's help to break it up. Now, I have this word of caution. Don't wait. When you find a fallow field on the farm of your life, don't wait to break it up, because the longer you wait, the harder it gets. I grew up in Winfield, down in north central Louisiana. And it may have just been a Wynn Parish thing, I don't know. But my folks used to talk about ground getting packy. Do y'all use that expression around here? Ground will get packy. And what they mean is, if it sits idle long enough, the weather, the rain, feet will pack it down and make it harder than ever to break up. Right? So when you find a field that needs to be broken, don't wait. It's just going to get harder and harder and harder and harder to break it. Do it now. The prophet said, it is time. And I'm here just echoing his message. It is time. It's time, and for some it's way past time, to break up that fallow ground on the farm of your life and start back doing for God and with God what you used to do and know you should, but just don't do anymore. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this word from a prophet. He lived a long time ago, but he spoke to me this week. And I pray that he spoke to others this morning. Lord, I just ask that you would bring us face to face with our need. Help us to see what portions of our lives need to be renewed, need to be brought into obedience again, need to be brought to heal so that we can produce fruit and be profitable to you and grow as your children. Now, Lord, have your way in this invitation time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand in a moment and sing a song of invitation. If there is a public decision you need to make, now's your opportunity to do it. You may need to find a place of prayer and confess a sin or make a surrender. Maybe God's moved on you to be a member of this church, and if God has done that, you need to signify that to the church. I don't know what things God's been dealing with you about, but whatever he's been dealing with you about, now's your time to say yes to him and do what he says.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.